You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queen's Podcast, the show about badass women in history.
Here we go again.
Nathan, how are you today?
Oh, good. Good. It's been a good couple of weeks.
Nathan, what you have a story for me today. What are we going to talk about?
We are going to be covering a famous psychologist named Mamie Phipps Clark.
Okay. I don't think I'm familiar with her at all. So I'm excited for this.
I had no idea who she was. So right. I just started researching people that I've never heard of that are psychologists. And I landed on this one because I was like, oh, this is really cool. She came up with this whole type of experiment with kids. That's very awesome. That actually helped inspire the civil rights movement with overturning Brown versus the Board of Education. So,
okay.
Full win.
That's
there.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes.
So well, she helped.
I can't wait to hear the story.
I know. So excited. So Mamie was born on April 18th of 1917. So she's an Aries if you're keeping track. So we've got a little fire here. So her dad, Harold, was a really well-known and respected physician in the British West Indies. Which is really funny. I always think of the British West Indies. I'm like, ooh, it's in the West Indies. It's like, no, that's the Caribbean.
I had this exact same conversation with my husband yesterday.
Yeah. You're like, wait, but wait. Oh, Christopher Columbus landed there and was like, I'm in the Indies. It's like, yes. No, you're not. You're not, bro.
Yes.
This is the Caribbean.
Yes. That's so funny. I can't believe we were both not that good at our geography.
Yeah, right. So dad also ended up managing a resort. So he's physician / manager of a resort. So every day he's hustling.
Okay. Okay.
Her mom, Flo, I mean, her name's Florence, but I just want to call her Flo.
Yeah.
So Flo was a quote unquote homemaker, which yes, great job. But she also helped her husband do his physicianing.
Okay. So
if that's a word. Is that
physician practice? His practice.
Yes, it's physicianing.
Physicianing.
We're going with it.
Sure.
So you can imagine that she has a pretty well-to-do family. Like he's not doing too badly. So he provides for her very well. But at this point in time, her education in America, growing up in America in the South, because she's born in Arkansas, was not great.
Yeah.
Because segregation is bad. So
yeah.
We talked about this in our Daisy Bates episode a little bit on Patreon, like the same sort of situation that schools are segregated as fuck. Children, the conditions for them are completely different than the white children. They have to get bused miles and miles and miles away. So it's not uncommon for a black child at this time to drop out of school because it's just so much work to even get there. To show up.
Right.
But Mamie's family is pushing her. They understand education is key. So they're very insistent that she gets her education.
I mean, if her dad's a physician, I could see why it's like, look, I got a physician. I'm physicianing and running a resort. So you need to get an education so you can work two jobs too.
You just used the word physicianing, and
I'm glad
you used it in a sentence. So she had a pretty happy childhood, right? She's got a dad that's pushing her to get an education, that has a little bit of money, that has time to go vacationing a little bit. You know,
Love
so
it.
He, that she would remember things like that. But she also said that her, it wasn't like the picture perfect, like she's wealthy, but she right. didn't have like this horrible poverty, like
the struggles that a lot of people in her situation at the time
exactly
did. Yeah,
that's exactly because systematic racism. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, no, we don't want systematic racism.
No, yeah,
but that's what this is, right. Ladies and gentlemen. Systematic racism in the United States.
Yes.
So Mamie graduated. So we can imagine that's a big deal for somebody to graduate.
Absolutely.
In her, yeah. And she graduated in Langston High School, which was, again, uncommon. But she got a couple of offers for some pretty prestigious Black universities. Okay. So she got a couple scholarship offers too. And so she ended up choosing Howard University, just like Daisy Bates, like
right.
the same thing. So get it, girl, like get that education. I'm here for it. Like Black women getting educated in the 50s. That's a big deal.
I feel like we talked about somebody else that went to Howard. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but, it's going to bother me now. But,
yeah, it's going to bother you. Yeah.
But anyway.
So she went to college during the Great Depression.
Oh, God.
And that's not a... Look it up. It's real depressing.
Look it up. Not a good time to have a lot of bills.
Right? But her dad is still able to send her $50 a month. So okay. at that point in time, that's $600 in today's
term.
Damn.
Okay.
So he's helping her. He's supportive.
Yeah.
He's wanting to, like, he's not that dad that doesn't want his daughter to get an education. He's helping her.
And
you know,
also,
so.
It sounds like with, you know, them being a family of color in the South dealing with segregation, and on top of it, like, with being the Great Depression, it sounds like they were doing a lot better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
If he could spare $600 a month, yeah.
He was doing pretty good for himself
for them.
As well.
So. Well, he's hustling. Yeah. He's positioning and running a resort.
And managing a resort. Like,
yeah.
He's bringing home the bacon. Like,
he is hustling, yeah.
Love it. And she ends up earning her major in math and physics. So Katie cannot relate.
Nope. No. Good for her, though. Good for her.
This was very uncommon for women even at the time too, because women would usually do nursing or teaching, something along those lines. It was never something so in-depth as like math and physics. And so it's a little ahead of her time as well here, even in women's history.
Mm-hmm.
Our girl is doing math. Like, hello.
That's awesome. No, that's fantastic.
So she's at Howard University. She just got her major, and that's actually where she met her future husband, Kenneth Bancroft Clark.
Mm.
So this is where history is a bag of dicks, because if you look at Kenneth Clark, there's more content on him. There's more,
of course,
you know.
He's
the one that did everything, and it's like, wait a second. Hold up. Sexism. Yay.
So what you're telling me is that sometimes the only way to find anything about women in history is by searching their husbands and fathers. What a brand new concept for our little podcast.
Right. So he ended up, this is where he did, you know, help out, because he pushed her and said, hey, you've always told me, you know, that when you were growing up, you just loved kids, but you just loved how they think and what makes them who they are and how they, you know, in their head, they're formed. He was like, you should do what I'm doing. You should do psychology as well. And she was like, cool. And she was like, I'm going to gear it more towards children. So that something that she was very passionate about. So
was child psychology like the kind of field it is now, or was this kind of revolutionary?
Kinda,
like, you want to, they're just kids. What you doing? Like, was that kind of the attitude?
She started all of that.
Okay.
Stuff.
Okay. Yes.
So that's what she started. So this is a perfect fit for her. She's always wanted to do this. She's loved kids. She wants to make them better. So she's like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm changing everything from math and physics to experimental child psychology. So that's essentially what she did. But her and Kenneth ended up eloping in 1937 during her senior year. She graduated magnum cum laude, and then ended up enrolling in the psychology graduate program at that point.
If I may have missed it, where'd you say that she went to grad school? Was it also at Howard?
Yes. Okay. All at Howard. Yeah. This is all at Howard.
Okay.
So she's making her dreams come true, and I love this journey for her.
I do too.
She's becoming confident. She's like, I love what I'm doing. This is what I want to do. And she's always been interested in how there's segregation between, you know, a young child that feels a certain way because they're black versus one that's white in this society at this time.
She's very interested. How the racism is affecting their formative years, basically.
Yes. So yeah. She's very interested in how all of this is impacting them because systematic racism. I'm sorry, if you're listening to Queen's podcast and you don't believe that there's been systematic racism in America, then you should stop listening.
Yeah. This might is just not history. Be the podcast for you.
I'm just talking about history in the 50s, like for real. Yeah. So she's super interested in this race consciousness is what they called it. So she's interested in when black kids become aware that they belong to a particular race.
Okay.
So at what point in their formative years do they realize, oh, I am a black child in America in the 1950s? When do they become aware of that? So she pours her heart into this, and that's when she comes up with the doll experiment.
Okay.
So if you think of child psychology and a doll, like that is something that psychology has used for
ever.
70 years after.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We're still using that same technique. So right. They were the pioneers of this. So it was officially called the Clark and Clark study. So okay. At least she got like some cred in this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But whose name was first? Was it Clark or was it
hers?
Clark?
Hers.
Hers was first.
Damn it. Hers first. So it literally, the doll experiment is what you think it is.
Okay.
So whenever you talk to a kid and you have to break down that barrier and really help them understand something, you have to give them something to relate to. So if you think about it in modern day terms, this is what we like child molestation. Where did the person
show
touch
me
you?
On the doll?
And they show me on the doll. Mm-hmm. And so that's where this came from.
Right.
So she basically introduced the doll as a way for the child to be able to explain how they're feeling and what's happening. Because if you talk to a child and you say, do you think there's systematic racism and you're growing up weird? They're going to be like, doll.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Like, they're not going to understand what, like, your questions to them.
So you have to put it down to, they just don't have the skills. They don't have the verbal skills. They don't have the cognitive skills. So you're putting it down into a much more basic way of communication for them.
Yes. And I like have a picture in the show notes, and it's literally like a little black boy pointing to dolls, and the dolls are colored either white or black.
Okay.
So that's where we're going with this.
Yes.
It was very like, this is the point where I was like, oof, this is not.
Which one? So they're basically seeing how young they are typically when they know if they are this color or that color of the dolls. Okay.
So the questions were, show me the doll that you like the best or that you'd like to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Show me the doll that is the nice doll. Show me the doll that looks bad. Give me the doll that looks like a white child. Give me the doll that looks like a, sorry guys, colored child. Give me the doll that looks like you.
Got it.
So very interesting there, because a lot of the times the children would associate everything with white.
Even
a lot of the stuff, but the bad, of course, the bad and the colored was black.
Right.
Everything else was white. So if you were the biggest questions here that I want us to kind of remember is, give me the doll that looks like you and give me the doll that you want to play with. And they chose white.
The black children chose that they looked like the white doll too?
Yes. At like age 3 and 4, they felt like they looked like the white doll.
Okay.
Once they became around 4 to 5 years old, they started to associate racism. And they started to go, oh, I am black. This is bad. And so later on in the studies, they found out that the children started answering, what do you look like? Black. What is bad? Black. What doll do you want to play with? White. So it was still like this 4 or 5 year old child is thinking this way. Ugh. So obviously that's heart-wrenching. Like, that it's hard to talk about.
Yeah.
It's heart-wrenching. And that's a study that ended up landing its way into Thurgood Marshall's office. Maybe you've heard of him. maybe just the Supreme Court justice, black, amazing, fabulous.
Maybe I've heard of him, yes.
So at this point, it lands on his desk. He calls her in, and she's doing graduate work at this point, right? So she's in graduate school at Howard University in the law office of Thurgood Marshall. So you're in good hands.
Not a bad place to be, yeah. Or not, yeah.
Technically, it was Charles Houston's office, but she worked with Thurgood Marshall. Anyway.
Yeah.
So she was quoted at this point saying that, I can't even remember the names of them all, but they converged in his office to prepare cases, and that was the most marvelous learning experience I ever had. And the whole sense of really blasphemy to blacks was brought very clear to me in that office. So basically, she's just saying, like, I learned so much shit. And it's all about how black people have been fucking spit on for fucking years. And it's so, it was just like that light bulb moment for her.
Yeah, no, it's such a simple experiment that it's almost surprising that no one had thought to, like, well, just no one was studying the way the black children were being raised. But as soon as somebody was like, hey, maybe this will be beneficial, it's such a simple experiment that's so eye-opening.
Right? Like, she's... It's an innocent child, so you can't say that, oh, they've been swayed this way or that way. You know what I mean?
They've been watching too much media.
Three. They're little kids. Like, so that's the foundation of the Brown versus the Board of Education research that she did.
Interesting.
After all of this research that she does, she obviously gets her doctorate.
Yeah.
Because... you deserve it.
Yeah, at this point.
Yep. And, correction. She does get her, she did her graduate work at, or her doctorate from Columbia. So she didn't all go to Howard University.
Okay, just her undergrad, her master's, but then doctorate at Columbia.
Yes. So hubby was also, so her and hubby were the first black people, man and woman, to get their degrees, their PhDs in psychology. So props to them.
Wow.
Applause.
What fun couple goals. You know,
right? Like we're both psychologists. Ooh, I don't know though. If you're both psychologists, that may be a recipe for nightmare.
Just dissecting each other like constantly. But
no spoilers here. They were very happy together. So it wasn't that way for them.
Okay.
But unfortunately, she ends up hitting a really bad brick wall. Like, I'm talking big, racist, whitewashed brick wall, because she's this strong black woman with a degree and nobody wants to hire her because they're all wealthy white men.
Yeah.
So she's got all the street cred, but nobody wants to do anything. Oh.
What about her husband? Did he have problems finding work too?
He had problems too. They couldn't find jobs. He found a job, but she couldn't find a job, but ended up, do not fret, she found a job. She landed a job at the Riverdale Home for Children. So this is an institution for homeless black girls. And this made a huge impact on her. So this is something made her, you know, this is part of her legacy as well. She's just really saddened by all the number of minority children that are being like tossed out of their home. So that's the other thing, is they're homeless because they've been thrown out of their house because their parents can't afford them and just literally throw them out of the house. So something had to give at this point for her. So she starts ramping up her psychological testing. She's trying to crack this racist code. Like this, she
ends
up opening.
I don't want to interrupt you. Sorry. Do you know what the ratio, how many white daughters were just being tossed out as compared to black daughters.
I don't know that for sure. And I will,
but I could think it was a higher rate.
Yeah, I could bank on it. That is a very high rate.
Okay.
Different ratio. So I guarantee you it's like a 70 to 30, not even that. Like,
So she's like, why is this happening to our daughters more than the daughters of other races? Yeah.
Right? It just does it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
So she ends up opening up her own center. So it's called the Northside Child Development Center. So this was founded in the basement of the apartments that her family lived in. Love this. They're so supportive.
Yes.
They're so supportive. And her dad still lent her money. So this ended up providing tons of therapy for children in Harlem. It gave a lot of housing assistance. And at first, it started off focusing on psychoanalysis. So if you don't know what that is, that's like you're treating a mental disorder by thinking about what your unconscious could be thinking.
And yeah.
Like think dream interpretations. Think, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so she's like, we need to do more than that. That I'm not just going to do psychoanalysis. So she ends up doing psychological consultations where she like gets to know the person, like whoever she's consulting, and then talks to the parents or, you know, whatever goes on there. And she gives vocational guidance. So giving them jobs.
That's awesome.
Giving their parents education on how to raise a kid to be smart and have an education and go to school.
Be empowered. And
you need to go to school. You need to get educated. You need to, you know, like train them to help and even help them. Like, she was such an impact on that society, especially in New York.
This all sounds exhausting. She sounds like she was really busy, but with like a really great cause, but it must be exhausting to be a trailblazer.
Amen. So Mamie also came up with another type of psychological testing where she would give a kid a picture, you know, how you color in pictures.
Yeah.
And it would be the outline of a boy or a girl. And then she would say, color the child the same color as yourself. And most of them color themselves as white or yellow. It's so interesting that when they're so young,
they still
associate themselves like that, even though they're, it's so weird. It's so fascinating to me that it's systematic racism.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It's terrible. So segregation, we've talked about this, racial injustice is all instilled in these black children. Like somehow they just understand that being black is inferior. And it's like, this is so hard to research. It was so hard to research. I was like,
I'm sure.
Because it's terrible. Because now you're looking at she's looking at education and, you know, when they go to these segregated schools, how that's going to impact your child negatively as well.
Yeah.
So
it's so interesting though, that this is so relevant now with the pushback that a lot of public schools are getting for teaching critical race theory and stuff like that. When it's like, just look back, you know, 100 years ago when she was doing this kind of research, and the writing is on the fucking wall that it's there. Like, we need to be thinking about how, I get why people are like, we don't want to teach our children that we're all racist. And it's like, yeah, I totally get that. But historically,
Yeah, it was like, so you, and if you have to read history, it was a little bit, I mean, Isabella Castile, we always talk about her. We always somehow bring her up in everything.
I'm sure she loves that. That's her legacy, is like, powerful queen, but boy, howdy, was she racist.
Oh my gosh.
But we need to make that a tagline of like a book about her, like, powerful Spanish queen. And then like the subscript's like, boy howdy, was she racist?
Oh my gosh. So let's reel it in.
Boy howdy.
So her biggest conclusion, so Mamie's, not Isabella of Castile's.
Boy howdy.
Mamie's biggest conclusion that she was actually quoted as saying, that if society says it's better to be white, not only white people, but the Spanish word for black that I refuse to use, black people come to believe it. And a child may try to escape the trap of inferiority by denying the fact of his own race.
Interesting. Ugh.
So she's saying that society says that it's better to be white. But
and so maybe these kids are like, I can manifest it.
No, but the black parents have believed it, believe that white people are better. So they inadvertently train their children that white people are better. And the child just automatically knows that.
Yeah.
So it's like early childhood development sort of stuff that she's we're talking 1 to 3 years old, because she's researching 3 years old. So that means she's researching their first 3 years of their life.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. Like, so, love her. So she interviewed over 300 children for this, you know, famous court case that she did. And there was another study that they did where they did drawings of different animals and drawings of humans or little kids again.
Yeah.
And if a child at 3 to 5 years old, again, we're still researching that age, they asked the child, which picture describes yourself? And the three-year-olds would always choose an animal. And I love this, because that's like the heart. That's the heart of a three-year-old.
Yeah.
That's the heart of a lion.
Yeah.
Oh,
we both Look at us. I mean, if you were going to be either that or horse, if you were going to choose to be an animal at three.
I was a panda.
You were a panda?
Panda. I was a panda. I had a panda since 2 years old. That's my favorite. I always love pandas. So after 3 years old, whenever they were about 4 years old, a kid would choose that they were a person. So it seems around 3 years old to 4 years old, they start to understand they're a human being. So they're a person, not an animal.
Okay.
So it's super duper interesting about all of these different studies that she did. Not her husband. I feel like these are all her ideas. Mamie also, she didn't just do the Northside project that she did. She did the Harlem Youth Opportunities Unlimited project, which is a mouthful.
That is a lot of words.
So I know it's supposed to read as HARYOU. So HARYOU is the acronym. But to me, it just likes Harry You.
That's funny.
But I'm just going to call it HARYOU, and I'm going to try not to say HARYOU.
Not HARYOU.
So she found this in 1962. So this is well after all of the court cases have gone on. And this project helped provide supplemental education to poor students falling behind in school. So if they were, you know, getting D's and F's, you know, she would step in and help out.
Yeah.
Also gave job opportunities to young black youth, helped Harlem residents work on how to get assistance from the government to make sure that they can eat.
Right.
And read and write, like, you know, those basic things of how to go somewhere to get what you need to get.
Right.
It's so like, eye-opening, like, why don't they teach this in
school?
Why
don't they? I just don't see that there's any harm unless you're completely unwilling to learn that maybe your ancestors weren't perfect. We don't have to shove racism down kids' throats, but maybe just like hard-hitting facts like these studies, I think could only make the children more critical thinkers. Right. But I'm a hippie socialist.
But isn't that what education's about, is making your child a critical thinker and thinking on their own and educating themselves and coming to their own conclusions?
Yes.
Oh.
But no, we want to make the babies racist and the frogs gay. Anyway.
So, are you included in Lyndon B. Johnson's War on Poverty? So he ended up including that in his bills as you know, part of his War on Poverty. And it was short-lived, though, because they had like a quote-unquote political conflict of interest.
Oh.
I feel like there's some House of Cards shit going on there.
Yeah.
Just kidding. There's not. There's not.
There might be. You don't know.
You don't know, Bo?
You don't know.
But Mamie didn't let that get her down. She ended up doing a lot of extra work with her community. She served as chairman for her housing company in NYC. She also served on the board of ABC, like
ABC.
The American Broadcasting Company. Like
okay. Look at her.
She was also on the committees for the Museum of Modern Art in New York, the New York Public Library, and a number of other community outreach programs. But unfortunately, after 45 years of marriage to her beloved husband, Kenneth, she passed away due to cancer on August 11th of 1983.
So how old was she?
She was 66 at the time.
Okay. Cut down a little shorter than I would have liked to seen, but
I know. Her husband lived on to like 2005. He was like 91. I think maybe that's why he has more shit on him. But she still was like the inspiration behind all of it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, super inspiring life. Like, man, what? I'm just a little bit flabbergasted just like how, like just the doll experiment that is so simple, but like just proves so much. And from the mouths of babes, you know?
Yeah. Like just the fact that she thought of that idea, like she understood a child's brain, and like her husband was more of a justice psychologist.
Yeah.
And she was more interested in the child psychology of it all and like how that child is developing. And that's really where her legacy is in the fact that she pushed her and her husband to do this research that ended the Brown versus the Board education and ended segregation. Like huge, that she was just had this idea.
Yeah.
To do this. And brilliant.
That is, I am obsessed. This is so cool. This is such a cool story, Nathan. I've never heard of her.
I know. That's the other point. It's like, damn it. Why haven't we heard of this?
Why didn't we learn about this in school? Like, or even college, you know? That's obsessed. Thank you so much for sharing that story. That was so cool.
Yeah. So hope you liked it. And let's raise a glass to Mamie.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.